All right. Well, it is always so good to be with you on Monday afternoons. And this service, this devotional does occur every Monday afternoon at 4:30, and it goes until about 5:05, 5:10. So I'd like to invite you guys to come back again next week. But it's so good to be with you on Mondays. And tonight we're going to be doing this, or this afternoon, we're going to be talking about Jesus healing the brokenhearted. Jesus healing the brokenhearted. How many here in this room this afternoon have experienced a broken heart at some point in your life? I think all of us have, right? Experienced a broken heart, whether that be the loss of a job, a divorce, the loss of a career, the loss of an education, the loss of somebody who is dear to you in your life. We have all experienced a broken heart, right? And over the last several weeks, we talked about some of the different things or some of the different practices that we as believers should do. And there's several things we need to do in order to mend a broken heart. How many here want their broken heart mended, put back together? Well, the first way to do that is to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You know, somebody once said that everybody is born with a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. And I would add, by His Son, Jesus Christ. And people try to fill that vacuum with things, with relationships, with the things of this world, with drugs, with alcohol, but only one thing, one person can fill the emptiness inside and mend your broken heart, and that's Jesus Christ. And friends, you know what? Another way to mend your broken heart is this. How many of us have done some pretty bad things in the past? Well, you know what? We've got to forget the past. We've got to stop beating up on ourselves. We've got to start forgiving ourselves. Remember, the lawyer came to Jesus and said, Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second is like unto it, you will love your neighbor as you dislike yourself. No, you love your neighbor as you love yourself. In other words, you forgive your neighbor as you forgive yourself. And you know, some of you here this afternoon may never have heard a message on forgiving yourself, but you know what? A lot of people beat up on themselves concerning the past. A lot of people have regrets. I would have, I could have, I should have. If I had done this, I would have married this person. Had I done that, I would have gone to that school. Had I done this, I would have had that career. But you know what? Leave the past where it belongs. It belongs in the past. Don't imprison yourself. Don't allow the enemy to accuse you and keep you imprisoned in the past. Forgive yourself. You tell the devil when he tries to bring up your past that, you know what, devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. When I accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, all of my sins up on until that point were erased in the heart and in the mind of God. You tell the enemy, I see myself as God sees me. How does God see you? God sees you as forgiven. And it's the same way you've got to see yourself, friends. You've got to forgive yourself of the past. Don't live with regret anymore. Don't beat up on yourself. Don't punish yourself. Leave the past where it belongs. Where does it belong? It belongs in the past. So one of the ways to mend your broken heart is to forgive yourself. And friends, you know what? Every single day, we're going to come into contact with at least another person, right? We'll have contact with at least one person each day of our lives, right? And listen, guys, somebody is going to say something or do something to get you offended. They'll say something or do something that does not quite sit right with you. The question is this, will you allow that seed of offense to be planted in the soil of your heart? If you allow that seed of offense to be planted in the soil of your heart and you nurture that seed of offense can become a root of bitterness. And that root of bitterness, if unchecked, can become a tree of hatred. Now, I don't want a tree of hatred living on the inside of me. How about you? No, right? So somebody out there is going to try to break your heart at one point, going to try to offend you. How do you mend the broken heart? By becoming better and not bitter, right? By choosing to forgive your offender, releasing your offender of the debt that you feel that he or she owes you. Well, he said something wrong about me. She lied about me. I can't believe she did that to me. He did that to me. The least he owes me is an apology. Well, you know what, friends? You might have to just let that person go and release them of the apology that you feel that they owe you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so healing the broken heart. Number one, making Jesus your Savior and your Lord. Number two, forgiving yourself of your past. And number three, forgiving others when they offend you. Now tonight, or this afternoon, I want to talk about overcoming adversity. Overcoming adversity. What does adversity mean? Adversity means opposition. It's a hindrance, and it's something that comes against you. And adversity comes in the form of troubles, struggles, trials, and tribulations and difficulties. Some examples of adversity are financial needs, physical problems, mental anguish or torment, family difficulty, or destructive habits. Somebody's trying to get in there. So how many of us here have experienced some type of adversity in our lives? We've all experienced adversity in our lives, right? And how many here want to overcome the adversity that is in your life? I do, right? We are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. Right now, the greater one lives on the inside of us. And who's that? That's Jesus Christ. And he has given us what? He has given us overcoming power over our adversity. Adversity also comes in the form of bondage, right? Maybe to alcohol or to drugs or to looking at something with your eyes that you should not be looking at. Maybe being in a relationship with somebody immorally that you should not be in relationship with, and if it's not your spouse. But we have overcoming power over adversity in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's turn to Revelation 12, verse 11. Revelation 12, 11. And this is what it says. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They overcame him, the accuser, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb. Let's talk about the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, for the next few minutes. Remember when God created humanity, man and woman, in the garden, right? He said, you can eat of any tree in the garden, right? But the tree I do not want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Right? And remember, he gave man authority and dominion in Genesis chapter 1. Dominion over the animals of the earth. I believe dominion and authority over sin. But guess what happened in Genesis 3? The tempter, Satan, came to the woman and tempted her to eat the fruit that God said you should not eat. And what did she do? She ate of the fruit that God told them not to eat of. So by their disobedience, guess what happened? The authority that God had given them was now transferred into the hands of the enemy, of the tempter. But the good news is this. 2,000 years ago, who regained that authority and dominion? Jesus Christ. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. And this is what Jesus says to his disciples, and it applies to us today. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. He appeared to his 11 disciples after he was crucified, buried, and resurrected on the third day. He appeared to his disciples shortly after and said this. Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In other words, he was saying the authority that Adam and Eve had given to the enemy, Jesus, by his work on the cross, regained that authority, right? And then he says this in verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So he was saying what? He was telling his disciples, I'm about to ascend back to the Father in heaven. And the authority that I have regained from the enemy, I am giving it back to you. By the blood of Jesus, we've got that authority and that dominion over adversity. In Jesus' name. Does that make sense? Remember, at one time, we were captive to which kingdom? We were prisoners of what kingdom at one time? The prison of, or the kingdom of darkness. The prison of darkness. That's what it was. Right? We were captive to the kingdom of darkness. To bondages. Maybe to drugs. Maybe to alcohol. Maybe to doing things that were not right. Maybe to looking at things that were not correct. But the blood of Jesus, by the work on Calvary 2,000 years ago, did what? The blood of Jesus redeemed us from the kingdom of darkness. What does it mean to redeem? It means to buy back. The blood of Jesus bought us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. So that when the enemy tries to throw one of those bondages back in your face, maybe drugs, maybe alcohol, maybe looking at something or fantasizing, if he tries to throw one of those things back at you, what do? You say, by the blood of Jesus. You call on the blood of Jesus and say, the blood of Jesus rescued me from the kingdom of darkness. I plead the blood of Jesus. Satan, you've got to flee in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Call on the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood legally freed us from Satan's dominion because we have been bought with a price. Friends, when he tries to throw adversity at you in the form of some type of bondage, some weakness, whether it be, like I said, an addiction, maybe reading a horoscope, going to a fortune teller, a palm reader, that's his way of throwing adversity at you. Call on the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. You were bought with a price, and that price is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Friends, the enemy may be trying to throw some type of adversity at your life right now. Maybe it's financial lack. How many here have had God do a miracle in their lives in the past? Maybe a financial miracle, maybe a healing miracle, maybe some type of miracle, right? So you have got a personal word of testimony, right? God has provided for you in the past. He healed your body in the past. He did some sort of miracle for you in the past. He rescued you, delivered you from some sort of bondage in the past, right? And maybe now He's throwing that same thing at you again in the form of adversity. Maybe it's financial need again. Maybe it's sickness in your body again. Maybe it's some type of bondage again. But how do you overcome the accuser? By the word of your testimony, right? You tell him, Satan, in the name of Jesus, so many years ago, so many months ago, Jesus delivered me. He did a miracle in my finances, and I may be struggling financially now, but he did it in the past. So I believe he's going to do it again for me. He's going to bring about a miracle in my life. He may have healed you physically in the past, Jesus. And maybe sickness is trying to come against your body again. By the word of your testimony, you overcome the accuser. Accuser, what do you say? Accuser, in the name of Jesus, he has healed me in the past. And if he did it in the past, he can do it again right now. You've got to flee and let go of my body in Jesus' name. How do you overcome the enemy? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. That's one thing the enemy cannot fight is your personal testimony. If Jesus, if God has done a miracle in your past and you're needing a similar miracle again, just throw it in the face of the enemy. He did it for me in the past. That's the word of my testimony. And he is going to do it for me again. And that's the way you overcome the accuser, Satan, the tempter. Amen?
Amen.
Remember where God has brought you from. Remember the miracle God did for you. And if you're needing that miracle again, if you're needing some type of miracle again, just say, hey, God did it for me once in the past. That's my testimony. That's my word of testimony. He'll do it for me again. And guess what? The enemy will have to flee from your life. Amen?
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Now, 1 John 5:4, another way to overcome adversity in your life. 1 John 5:4. You may not have a Bible with you this afternoon, but I'll read it to you. Verse 4, 1 John 5:4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. What kind of faith is he talking about here? He's talking about saving faith, because look at what he says in the very next verse. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now let's look at what the world is all about. He defines what the world is in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. What does he mean when he says world in 1 John? For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. So what does the world consist of? It consists of the cravings, the lusts of sinful man. The world would try to throw its lusts at you to get you off track with God. Right? What else does the world consist of? The lust of his eyes. Looking at things with your eyes that you should not be looking at. The enemy would try, the world would try to put the lust of the eyes before you to throw adversity into your life and get you off track with God. And then the world also consists of boasting of what a person has and does. Pride. Pride comes before a fall, right? Pride comes before a fall. The world would try to throw lusts at you to try to overcome you. But guess what? Who lives on the inside of you? When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, who came to live on the inside of you? Jesus Christ. So the greater one lives on the inside of you and of me. Amen? We have overcoming power resident on the inside of us. Amen? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of who? Lives on the inside of you and of me. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. When you accepted Jesus as Savior, the Spirit of Christ came to live on the inside of you. And that same power that resurrected Jesus lives on the inside of us. That same overcoming power that was resident in the life of Jesus is resident in our hearts. So that when the world tries to throw adversity at you, what do you tell the world? Listen, world, in the name of Jesus, the greater one lives on the inside of me. So you have no authority in my life. I've got the authority. I've got the power in Jesus' name over you. So in Jesus' name, you're going to have to flee. Call on the name of Jesus. You plead the blood of Jesus. And that lust, that boasting, that lust of the eyes will have to leave your life in Jesus' name. Amen? Say it with me tonight or this afternoon. I have got overcoming power on the inside of me. Because Jesus, by His Spirit, lives on the inside of me. Let me tell you a personal story here. A number of years ago, I was in the country of India and did lots of mission work in India, right? And I was preaching at a crusade. It was a gospel crusade, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And it was probably 250, 300 people present at this meeting. Preaching the Word of God, I was just loving it. The people were loving it. And all at once, this lady right up at the very front started to writhe like a snake, back and forth, up and down, just disturbing everybody all around. I stopped in the middle of my message, because who lives on the inside of me? The greater one, Jesus, lives on the inside of me. The enemy was trying to throw adversity and opposition into that gospel meeting. So in the middle of my gospel message, I stopped. And with the authority that Jesus has given me, by having accepted Him as Savior and Lord, I just stopped. I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, come out of that woman. And guess what? That writhing immediately stopped. And she became peaceful. Why? Because I have overcoming power on the inside of me. The greater one lives on the inside of me. Amen?
Amen.
By faith in Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus covers my spirit, my mind, and my body. And the blood of Jesus covers your spirit, your mind, and your body. You've got to develop that relationship with Jesus Christ. You've got to get to know Him intimately. So that when you call on the name of Jesus Christ, demons will tremble and flee. Amen? Overcoming power is on the inside of us. If He could do it for me in a gospel meeting in India, guess what? He can do it for you. But you've got to nurture, you've got to work on that relationship with Jesus Christ. We often ask people, you know, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Yes, I believe in Jesus. You know, we do street ministry on Friday nights. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. That's not enough, friends. Believing in God, believing in Jesus is not enough. That's just with your own mind, just believing maybe that Jesus exists. You've got to have more than just belief. You've got to have relationship with Jesus Christ who shed His blood for you and for me. How do you develop that relationship? By praying to Him in your private devotional times. Praying in the Holy Spirit, in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. By reading the Word of God. By fellowshipping with other Christians. That's the way you develop your relationship with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
He wants to know you closely. He wants you to know Him closely. So that when you call on His name, what happens? You overcome opposition and adversity. Amen?
Amen.
Does that make sense this afternoon? All right. Well, you know, just one more thing I want to add here. Another way to overcome adversity. There's a lot of Christians out there that, yes, receive the miracle they've been believing for. Maybe it was physical healing in their bodies. Maybe it was financial provision. Maybe some other sort of miracle. Maybe it was to marry a godly spouse. But guess what? There's people that live their entire lives close to God, close to Jesus, that never receive the miracle they expected. But guess what? They stayed close to God. They stayed close to Jesus. So in that sense, they overcame adversity. Yes, there's many Christians out there that God will give miracles to. But what about those who have been believing, come to the end of their lives, and never receive what they expected? See, the enemy was trying to throw adversity into those people's lives to get them away from God, right? The enemy will try to throw adversity into your life sometimes to get you away from God. But guess what? The overcomers are also those who are faithful till the end and don't give up. Even if they haven't received the miracle precisely that they were expecting. Does that make sense? Hebrews 11 talks about these people. Let me turn there for just a second. Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. It says, some of these heroes of faith faced jeers and flogging, Hebrews 11, 36, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. They were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us they would be made perfect. Now look at Job. How many know of Job in the Old Testament? Did the enemy try to throw some adversity into his life?
Yes.
If you read Job.
Yes.
Took everything from him. His family. Took his possessions from him. Took everything from Job. Major adversity. What did his wife say to him? His wife said, Job, just curse God and die. And what did Job say later on in the book? He said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Job was committed till the very end. The enemy may try to throw adversity into your life, opposition into your life, to get you away from God. And you may have that adversity up until your last breath. But still, if you remained close to God through all that adversity over the years, you were still an overcomer by the fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness. Amen. Faithfulness to God. Not giving up on God when things get tough. When you don't receive the miracle you thought you should receive. And yes, God will bring miracles into your life. Believe me, friends, He is a good God. He is the author of good. But you may not receive maybe a certain miracle you were expecting. But all the way up until your dying breath, you say, though He slay me, yet will I serve Him. I will not turn my back on my God, on my Jesus. I'll remain close to Him. And guess what, friends? You still are an overcomer in that sense, because you practiced the fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness. Now, this is what faithfulness is like. Not like. How many know what the second hand on the clock is? All of us, right? We know what the second hand is, right? It ticks faithfully, right? 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day. You can have that clock in a room. That clock doesn't care what's going on in that room. People may be yelling. It may be cold in that room. It may be hot in that room. Things may be going on in that room. But what? That second hand on that clock does what? It ticks faithfully. 60 seconds a minute. 60 minutes an hour. 24 hours a day. What are we to be like in our walk with God? We're to be like the second hand on that clock. We're to tick consistently in our walk with God. 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day. Now, I'd like to give you a personal story about this. My grandmother, my mom's mom, she was probably one of the most religious and committed Christians you would ever meet. She was always praying to God. Loved God so much. She loved Jesus so much. Such a religious and good Christian woman. She faced persecutions her whole life. For the last 10 years of her life, she struggled with cancer of the bone marrow. And guess what? She died with cancer of the bone marrow. She didn't necessarily receive the miracle she was expecting. But yet she was what? She was an overcomer. Why? Why? Because she never turned her back on Jesus through those 10 hard years. She was yet an overcomer in the midst of her trial. Up until her last dying breath, she had that cancer of the bone marrows. But she loved Jesus so very much. And her last breath on this earth was her first breath in heaven, completely cancer-free. She didn't receive the physical healing she was wanting, but she was an overcomer because she was faithful like the second hand on that clock. She ticked faithfully 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day without even thinking about turning her back on Jesus Christ. If she did it, friends, you can do the same. Yes, I'm here to proclaim the good news that God has got a miracle in store for you. He's going to do some great things with you in the coming days, the coming months, the coming years. He's got miracles in store for you. Keep on believing God faithfully. Don't give up on God when it gets tough. It's easy to follow God when you're having mountaintop experiences, right? When things are going well, it's easy to follow God and say, God, I love you. But what about friends, when you go through those valley experiences, those low experiences like my grandmother with bone marrow cancer, will you still continue to follow God? He's got miracles in store for you. Say it with me this afternoon. God, I believe you have got a miracle in store for me. And friends, there may be something you'll be believing for your entire life up until your last dying breath. And like some of these people in Hebrews 11 that I just read about, like my grandmother, you may not receive that thing, but guess what? You're still an overcomer if you do not turn your back on Jesus Christ. And are faithful till the end. Because when you reach glory, when you reach heaven one day, it is full of joy, it is full of peace, it is full of happiness. There is no sickness, there is no sorrow there in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So God has got some miracles on this earth in store for you, but the greatest miracle that God has got in store for us is eternity in heaven with Jesus forever. Amen? Eternity never ends. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. Does that make sense? You are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. And He loves you so very much. And God loves you. He's got something for you, friends. He has got something for you. You've got overcoming power on the inside, overcoming power against the bondages of the enemy, against depression, against grief. The greater one lives on the inside of you, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. That's awesome, isn't it? Just call on the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, when the enemy tries to throw opposition at your life.